91. Tariana.
We'll have to identify ourselves if we dock the boat in Celandriel. So, it's better we get out here and walk the rest of the way,
Marcus said. Tariana nodded, and though the river ran fast enough that she needed to pay attention to what she was doing, she found her gaze fixed on the massive city in the distance. The sun beat down on the endless white-walled structures, the only green to be seen, that on the villa-crusted hill rising up from the north side of the city. Though she couldn't see the harbor, the towering statue of a legionnaire in full regalia was clearly visible, as were the towering public buildings, their columns rising high to support roofs decorated with detailed reliefs. The paved roads the empire was famous for converged on the city, full of travelers and rivaled only by the dozen towering aqueducts that delivered clean drinking water for the million or more people contained within the city's low walls. Their boat ground against the shore of the river, jerking Tariana from her thoughts, and she jumped out, helping Marcus drag the vessel farther up where they abandoned it. Neither of them speaking, they made their way through the brush and trees into a clearing, where Marcus paused, setting their gear on the ground. "Feels strange to be back here," she said. "A lifetime ago that we sailed out of that harbor." Marcus only nodded, a deep furrow marring his brow. Then, there was a scuffle of noise in the brush. Both of them whirled, and a second later, a large lizard with yellow scales appeared, pausing as its golden eyes fixed on them. It was about the size of a dog, but more sinuous, its feet tipped with sharp claws, and its mouthful of teeth clearly visible as it hissed. "What in the underworld is that?" she demanded, pulling out her knife and stepping back. Appearing unconcerned, Marcus said,
"It's a dragon."
The symbol of the Celandor Empire. She'd known they were real creatures, but I've never seen one. It's sort of ugly.
"They're rare, especially this close to cities," he said. "People think they're poisonous, but they're not. They just have filthy mouths, and their bites turn foul within a day. They follow whatever they bite until it dies."
"Gods," Tariana whispered, watching as the dragon wove from side to side, sizing them up.
"They're considered vermin. Farmers kill any they come across."
The dragon hissed, and to her surprise, Marcus took a quick step toward it and hissed back. The lizard stared at him for a minute, and then with shocking speed, spun in a circle and disappeared from sight. Bit strange that Celandor uses something considered vermin as its symbol, she said, sheathing her knife.
"It's a fitting choice."
He stared at the dirt, mouth drawn into a thin line, and she knew that he was about to tell her their plan of action for meeting with the Senate and with Cassius. Her heart was galloping so hard in her chest that she could barely breathe, but she had to do it. Had to ask. "Don't go into the city." Marcus's face snapped up.
"But if..."
"I'll go," she said, "by myself. I'll meet with the Senate, with Cassius, and I'll tell them about the Xenthir. I'll tell them everything. And I'll also tell them that you're dead." He opened his mouth, but she couldn't let him interrupt her now. "I might have to wait until they can prove I'm telling the truth, but then Cassius will have to honor the agreement. He'll release my mother and my people, and then I'll cross over with whatever legions he sends and get Titus to give me the quincense back. And then I'll..." She swallowed hard, but she couldn't ask him to give up so much without making sacrifices of her own. "Then I'll come find you." The only sound was the wind in the brush and the distant sound of the rushing Savio.
"Why?"
The word sounded torn from his throat,
Why are you asking me to do this? Why are you willing to do this?
Twin tears rolled down her face. Because I love you. And there it was. She'd said it. The words that had been sitting on her tongue for a long time now, and if she was truthful, even longer in her heart. She was in love with him, and if living apart from her people was the only way to be with him, then she'd do it. But would he?
You shouldn't.
His voice cracked.
I don't deserve it.
That's not what I asked. Catching hold of his hands, she squeezed tightly. I love you, and I want to be with you. But the only way that's possible is if you leave this life behind. Will you do it? For me? He didn't answer, only stared at the ground between them, his breathing shaky. He pulled his hands from her grip.
I need a minute. I need to think. Just don't go anywhere, all right?
All right, she whispered, watching him disappear into the brush, heading down to the river. Bending her legs, she rested her forehead on her knees, trying to hold back the sobs that threatened. What did you think? A dark voice whispered inside her head. That he'd give up everyone he cares about just for you? She squeezed her eyes tighter, hating the flush of fear and embarrassment and hurt that burned her skin. He spent his entire life fighting to get where he is, the voice continued. Why would he give that power up? What can you possibly offer that will compare to what he's got now?
Shut up,
she muttered, reaching up to wipe her nose with her sleeve. You're underestimating him. Except he hadn't come back. What did that mean? Was he considering her offer or trying to think of a way to let her down gently? Should she go find him? He told you to wait, she muttered. Maybe for once, you might listen. Then, hands closed over her shoulders, hauling her upward and dragging a scream of surprise from her throat. She was spun in a circle, finding herself face to face with six legionnaires, a 29 stamped on the metal of their breastplates.
Well, well,
one of them said, grinning.
What do we have here? A Marin girl.
Thought we'd caught the last of you, another said. Though I'm sure the consul will be more than happy to add you to his collection.
Let me go! She tried to jerk free, but the hands gripping her were like iron, squeezing hard enough to bruise. She lifted a foot, intent on slamming it down on his instep, but he kicked her in the back of the legs, sending her sprawling.
Touch her again, and all six of you will be whipped until I can see the ground through your rib cages.
Marcus's voice cut through the air, calm and cold in a way she hadn't heard in a long time. Lifting her face, she saw the legionnaires' faces darken, and one said,
Who are you?
Taken a few blows to the head since Bardeen, Carmo, or is it the drink that's turned your memory to jelly?
Marcus strode toward her, and miraculously, the men moved.
Get up.
Part of her cringed at his tone, but she understood the necessity, rising swiftly.
Well, I'll be damned,
one of them said.
It's the 37th Legatus. Aren't you supposed to be on the other side of the world?
Marcus fixed the legionnaire with a cold stare, and the older man rolled his shoulders and looked away first, muttering,
Sir, mine is the business of the Senate, and none of your concern.
We're under orders given by the Senate and the consul that all Marin are to be arrested, sir,
the one called Carmo said.
So, while your business may be your own, the girl must come with us.
She's my asset, and she has an agreement with the Senate and the consul.
Marcus countered, she will remain with me.
Then I'm afraid you'll need to come with us as well, sir.
Carmo replied, a slow smile working its way onto his face.
If all is as you say, I'm sure it won't take long for this to be cleared up.
As you like.
Marcus's voice was flat.
Lead on.
He said nothing to her as they followed the legionnaires through the brush, then up a well-trodden road. And the men, perhaps realizing they'd pushed the limits far enough, said nothing to them. It didn't take long for a camp to come into view, the orderly white tents and campfires at equal intervals, eerily familiar. Flags snapped on the wind, the cell dragon glittering in the sunlight, seeming to watch them as they approached. The men on the perimeter nodded at the group as they passed, eyes going first to her, but as several of them recognized Marcus, it was he who garnered all the attention. Word spread ahead of them as they walked through the camp, men getting up from their leisure to watch them pass, their faces not particularly friendly. A large tent loomed ahead. The dragon standard, a 29 beneath its claws, gleamed where it was embedded in the ground by the entrance.
If you'd wait a moment, sir, Carmo said, I'll see if the Legatus has time to see you.
Marcus didn't answer, only scratched at his cheek, expression furrowed with annoyance. A crowd of soldiers had gathered now, none of them saying anything as they watched on, but there was a feral quality to their eyes that made Tariana's pulse race faster. They shouldn't be in any danger from these men, and yet.
Carmo stepped back out. He'll see you now.
While the camp itself was identical to that of the 37th, it was like stepping into a different world inside this commander's tent. The furniture was heavy and ornate, the chairs well padded, and the ground layered with thick carpets in vibrant colors. Rather than maps spread across the table, there were platters loaded with food, the plates porcelain and the flatware polished silver. Crystal decanters of wine were set among the platters, and lamps of colored glass illuminated the scene. It was like being in the tent of a king or a senator. Nothing like the Spartan furnishings Marcus kept in his own command tent.
Well, look what the cat dragged in.
Tariana's eyes shot past the laden table to the large chair on the far side of the tent. Though to call it such was a misnomer because it looked to all the world like a throne. A man, dressed in a red tunic and legion armor, lounged on the chair, one leg slung over the arm, a glass of wine held loosely in one hand. Judging from his golden skin, this Legatus was Sel by blood. His white, blonde hair was shaven almost to the scalp. His eyes, a vivid emerald green, and his face, not at all hard on the eyes.
Hostess,
Marcus said, his expression bland, but his fingers flexed at his side, and his hair was darkening with sweat at the temples, both of which betrayed to her his nerves.
It's been a long time.
Did you miss me, my little apprentice?
No.
The man laughed, and Tariana struggled not to take a step back, though she wasn't entirely certain why. There was something about him that screamed danger. As she glanced again at Marcus, she saw a bead of sweat roll down his cheek and realized that he wasn't just nervous around this man, he was afraid. Apprentice. The word rolled through her mind, and it dawned on her that this was the legion that had trained the 37th after they'd left Lessendor. That this was the man who'd trained Marcus.
Aren't you supposed to be conquering the dark shores in the name of the Empire?
That's not your concern.
Oh, but you know me, Marcus.
Hostess took a drink from his glass.
I'm endlessly curious.
He gestured at one of the men in the room.
Pour the boy a drink. Let's see if he holds his wine better than he did at 16.
The man splashed crimson wine into a glass and held it out to Marcus.
I'm not thirsty.
Drink!
Hostess screamed the word with such fury that Tariana stumbled backward, nearly falling. Marcus stood his ground.
I don't have time for power games, Hostess. My presence is required in Celandriel. So, while your hospitality is as pleasing as I remember, we will be on our way.
We?
Hostess rose from his chair, and for the first time since they'd entered, his gaze settled on Tariana. She forced herself to meet his emerald eyes, tracking his progress around the table.
Of course. This is the Marin girl you cut a deal with.
He made a tisking sound.
Always negotiating when you should be taking. Did you learn nothing in our time together?
Did you?
Hostess huffed, then his lip curled up.
Aren't we brave now that we're all grown up?
He stopped next to Marcus, leaning close enough that his lips were practically brushing his ear.
But I still remember the sound of your screams when I beat you bloody on the floor of this tent, boy.
He swayed from side to side.
Like music. Like poetry.
Marcus's jaw tightened, but he said nothing. Then, in a flash, the older man reached out and caught Tariana by the back of her shirt, dragging her sideways and forcing her to her knees.
Let her go!
Marcus snarled, reaching for his weapon, but the other men already had theirs out and leveled at him. Hostess slid his hand under her scarf, fingers catching her hair. Then he twisted his hand, pulling her head back to reveal her throat, and she clenched her teeth at the sight of the knife in his hand.
Neither Cassius nor the Senate will be pleased if you kill her,
Marcus said.
Satisfy your pleasures elsewhere.
Chuckling, Hostess pressed the tip of the knife against her throat, scoring a burning line in her skin as he slid it down to her collarbone.
Cassius will be just as happy to see this one dead, and what the Senate doesn't know, they can't gripe about. I'm willing to bet a fair bit of gold that no one knows that you're even here, Marcus. And I think we both know that Cassius wouldn't weep to learn you'd met an untimely end.
He was going to kill them. Or, more likely, torture them and then kill them. They needed to escape. But how was that even possible in the middle of a camp ruled over by this man?
I think it will be you who does the weeping if Cassius discovers you killed me and therefore lost his chance at learning the location of the Zenthier stems leading to the Dark Shores, and the stem leading back.
Marcus's smile was cold.
We two are the only individuals with that particular piece of information. It will be hard to claim Titus's glory if no one ever learns of it.
Hostess shifted his weight, his blade digging into her flesh, and then easing up again.
Here's the thing, boy. I heard a little rumor that you couldn't stomach this one.
He pulled harder on her hair,
being put to the question the first time. So, I think you'll tell me everything I want to know if I get to work on her. Am I right?
Marcus shrugged.
You'll only kill her anyway.
Negotiating with this bastard was a waste of time and Tariana knew it. The commander of the 29th wanted to kill them far more than he feared the consequences of doing so. There wasn't a chance of him letting them go.
That's true, Hostess replied. But I think you'll tell me what I want to know anyway. Carmo, get me my tools.
Taking a deep breath, Tariana envisioned Felix's instructions, and she moved.